Thank you. And the next item is the Pentagon Tree. Wayne Costi is going to give us his presentation on this. And we will take time afterwards for some very brief questions and answers, but they have to be kept very clear, very brief, because we're running up against the time limit here, and we have another item on the agenda. So, Wayne, it's all yours. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Sure.
Okay. So, first of all, thanks for having me on again. The presentation's the tree at column 16, what it tells us about the event of the Pentagon. A copy of it can be found on a website, www.hopeoutloud.org/Pentagon. And so that's where I've archived many of my previous presentations here that talk about the physical evidence at the Pentagon. And let's move on here. Going on to slide number four, the tree at column 16 is a large identifiable object. As we all know, a movement of a large identifiable object is subject to the laws of physics. And what we see here, and I'll show you, we'll be going through the photos here, and I hope you all have downloaded the PowerPoint. The trunk has been severed a few feet off the ground. There are tree branches that are seen to the north of the impact area, up against the Pentagon building. You can see them in the fire. Photographs taken after the event document the presence of the lower tree trunk in front of the Pentagon wall and to the left where it's still undamaged. And the lower tree trunk was thrown over 100 feet northward, large mass thrown northward. And this is evidence of that supports a large plane impact scenario. This particular issue of the tree has been it's never been brought to anyone's attention. I only ran across references to the tree stump once or twice in my work, so in my research. So this is slide four. Moving on to slide five, the displacement of the tree above the tree stump, the movement can't be explained, as near as I can tell, by the other theories. It's unexplainable by a cruise missile into the building. It's unexplainable by an exploding drone or other plane, although Barbara's going to say that there could be bombs everywhere. It's unexplainable by dropped bombs. You can't do all the damage to the Pentagon building and all this stuff without doing a lot more damage elsewhere. It's unexplained by a north of Sitka flight path, because it would knock the tree into the wall and not a flight path from the south, which would knock the tree northward, which is where we find it. It's supportive of a large aircraft that was reported by most witnesses as approaching and impacting. Slide six is a picture of the Pentagon wall. It's a year or so before 9/11. It's got the old firehouse in front of it, and you can see that there's a tree in front of column 16, and then there's two other ones that are to the left of the old firehouse. We'll see those. They remain. We'll see those later. Slide seven is another photograph of that, and you can I've highlighted the tree in front of column 16, and you can also see the trailers in front of the building. Those are the things that will be burning in many of the photos that you see. Slide eight is before the section of the wall collapses, a section of the building collapses, and you can see the wide opening or parts of it, the south end of it. And so we're going to kind of zoom in on this later. Going on to slide nine, Michael Wilson, as many of you know, has done an analysis of the large plane impact scenario, and he doesn't even know what to do with this tree. If you look at slide nine, you see the plane's approaching. It hits it begins to approach the tree. It starts to push the tree down. It kind of goes down, and that's the last you ever see of it in this discussion or anywhere else. So he didn't know what to do with it, and he covered a lot of the different physical evidence that was there. Going on to slide 12, you can see that's where it's kind of the last step in his sequence there. Slide 13 is kind of the zoom in of the image that we had seen a little while ago. You can see the remnants of column 16 hanging from the second floor. The shattered tree stump is in this particular picture from Jason Ingersoll has now been covered with a fire retardant firefighting foam, and that's why it looks kind of all grayish over here. But you can see it there. We're going to see this tree stump a number of times in the upcoming photographs. Slide 14, you can see it in the post-collapse wall on 9/11 itself. Slide 15 is a several days later, a different angle. You can see just how shattered it is. It's still there. So now I'm going to go through a couple of slides that talk about the probable impact. Slides 17 shows a plane approaching about where I think it would have been. The tree is probably caught by the leading wing spar between the fuselage and the engine. That's consistent with the damage. Slide 18, you can see the tree starting to get knocked. It had been severed. 19, it's still has momentum and is being dragged northward, and in 20, that's about where we find it. So that's the impact sequence. Moving on to slide 22, the tree branches are seen along the north side of the impact area. These tree branches are at the north end. They were overlooked by 9/11 Pentagon analysts. The presence has been unexplained. I was actually concerned when it was raised by Barbara some months ago that they were might be rebar. I knew that they were there, didn't know where they came from, and so I had to go back and really figure out where they came from, and I was able to find all these photos and put the story together about what happened to that tree at column 16. Slide 23 is from the smoke curtain in which Barbara, I don't believe, is the only person that said this, but when you actually look at it, it is not rebar. Slide 24 is a cleaner, higher resolution version of that photo where you just saw. Slide 25 is a zoom in, and here you can see the branches tangled in the with the fire behind it. So that's a kind of a close up of those tree branches. So we've got the tree that used to be there. We show the tree branches here. Slide 26 is the tree branches after they've been after the fire's been put out and the wall and the section has collapsed. You can see that they're still there. Slide 27 is during another one just after the firefighting. You can see the tree branches are still where they are. Slide 28, you can see them again, same place, in kind of the orientation that we saw in the first image of the sequence. Slide 29, you can see them again. Again, these are all done, many of the photos are taken with telephoto lenses, and so the perspective is kind of hard to see. You can see in slide 29, you can see the tree branches extending, visibly extending out to about slide 20, about column 5. So zooming into some of the other pictures of the tree stump, we have slide 31, Jason Ingersoll photo, and what we see here is the tree stump is kind of highlighted in a yellow square box. Slide 32 kind of zooms in, and you can see the trunk. You can see one of the branches. You can see several of the branches emanating from there. Slide 33, these were taken during the cleanup. You can see the tree stumps in this on slide 33 has been limbed and is in front of the where column 9AA is. And so you can see it there. Slide 34, you can see it. I zoomed in so you can see it a little clearer. I mean, these aren't great photos, but it certainly is there. And slide 35 is yet another photo of the limbed tree in that location. So going on to talking about some debris that's on the Pentagon lawn that has not received much discussion either. People have argued that the debris has been planted, but amongst all this debris, and here slide 37 shows some of it, you can see tree vegetation that is amongst all this that would have been The hypothesis, of course, is that it would have been dispersed by the very large fireball. Slide 38 is showing the large piece of wreckage. And in the background, you see yet another large piece of vegetation from that probably wasn't there before whatever the event was. So some large event carried that debris up and northward. And it appears to have been the trailing air mass behind a plane hitting and impacting and having no place to go, and it goes up and over, creating, and that's what dragged the fireball so wide and so high. So that was slide 38. Slide 39 is another picture that shows a lot of the vegetation. And I'll point out here that if you look to the left of the fire truck, you can see one of the trees that was to the left, still visible. You can also, in this image, it's hard to make out in this particular slide here, but you can see the other tree to the right of the fire truck. So all the trees on the face are accounted for. And I believe that's my last slide. So now I'm ready for questions, and I think I did my 15 minutes good justice here.
Yes, you did, Wayne, and thank you for your excellent time management. So we'll now go into Q&A mode. Please keep your questions or comments very brief because we have another item on the agenda that we need to take care of yet. So who would like to star six if you'd like to be to make a comment or ask a question? First is Barbara Harnacker. Go ahead, Barbara.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, Barbara.
Oh, okay. There's voices in the background. I just wondered. Okay, as long as you can hear me, that's fine. I just want everybody to know that I've done a detailed rebuttal of what Wayne's just presented, and I sent it to everyone on the 9/11 teleconference list. I know we're short on time. Please go there. It's very detailed, supported. The first thing I want to just say is, first, Wayne, you don't have to put down another person. I think that is really beyond the pale when you say that Will Barber will say there were bombs all over the place. You know that isn't true. In my rebuttal, I'm very specific on the specific explosions that cannot be explained by the official story, which basically you support, official story light. So everybody just needs to go there and see for yourself why Wayne is making a lot of unfounded assumptions here. Thank you.
Anybody that's not on our listserv that would like access to it, please send me your name and your request with your email address, and we'll get you on our listserv, and you can access this kind of information. Okay, next would be Xander Irvine. Go ahead, Xander.
Hey, Wayne. I guess Barbara's kind of touched on it, but I think it's plausible that the tree was damaged by explosions from within that aspect of the building, and that would explain why the tree didn't end up in the middle of the building. And I also, if you rewind your own audio, I think you'll hear you say the tree was dragged northward, and I think that's probably exactly what happened. It was blown outwards, landed somewhere in front of the building, and then was placed in a northern area of the lawn. But that's my only comment. I do look forward to looking at everybody's slides, yours and hers and all the rest of it, and I appreciate your input. Thanks. Bye.
Oops, I just realized that Wayne is probably muted. I apologize for that, Wayne. So if you'd like to comment, go ahead if you want to comment to Wayne, to Barbara, or Xander. Go ahead.
Yeah, so let me just respond to Xander first. So the possibility of this tree having been blown out and then dragged is, you know, I cut trees and for firewood, and to move a tree is not something that can be done without a huge amount of equipment. And there were photographs of the building within minutes, the Daryl Donnelly photos. And in fact, Barbara references in her letter, her email, how the Daryl Donnelly image number 14 could have been, was the thing that blew the tree outward or destroyed it. But that photo's number one from Daryl Donnelly, the first one doesn't show a tree there. So the tree is gone as soon as he starts taking pictures in the first 3 minutes. So trying to connect all the dots, the only thing that makes sense, and, you know, I'm not going to convince you folks here on the conference call, if you're not going to look at this, that the only explanation is a large momentum impact to the tree that severs the tree from the stump in the lower trunk, and it gets kicked to kicked or dragged or whatever you want to describe the tree moving 100 feet to the north, you know. But that's what the evidence shows, and you know, I mean what the physics would have to be. You know, we don't have photos of the whole thing happening, as you know, but this is a piece that has not been explored before, and I was able to come up with this, and I haven't seen anyone else address this particular piece, and it can only be explained, as I can see it, by a large momentum impact, unless you have a very carefully orchestrated, lots of explosives to move all sorts of stuff, and you know, if that's where we're at, that's where we're at. But
yeah. Wayne, did you want to comment on Barbara's comment?
Well, let's see.
Okay.
I think I did. So
yeah,
you know.
Fair enough. Okay, no problem. Okay, well, thank you. All that pretty much takes care of that part of our agenda. And Wayne, thank you.
Ken, sorry, it's Craig. I can't use the feature when I'm one of the hosts. So,
go ahead, Craig.
I'll make it quick. I obviously I don't agree with Wayne, so I won't get into my thinking on that. But I did have a couple of questions, of quick ones. One is, what part of the plane do you think, Wayne, that actually would have hit this tree? Because it appears to be it appears to be severed quite low, and it also appears to be kind of in behind, at least in one of the photographs, in behind the large spools. So I'm wondering what is supposed to have hit the tree, whether it's the right engine, and if that's the case, how could it even survive that impact and not just get pulled into the building if you're alleging an impact? That's one photo. The other one is just very simple. How are we certain of what trees were actually in place on the 11th of September, and whether could there have been an additional tree that isn't in the photographs that you showed that maybe was added later? I'm just not aware of that one way or the other myself. So that's my two questions.
Okay, so the as we've discussed in other emails, the aerial photographs of the satellite photos of the Pentagon on September 7th show what appears to be a single tree at about the column 16 area. So that's September 7th. And again,
okay,
it's a satellite. It's not a particularly good photo, but that is strongly indicative that there is something there that 4 days before September 11th. Do
okay.
we know that it wasn't moved on the 8th, 9th, or 10th? No, we don't. But again, the tree, there had been a tree there, and we find a tree laying along the north or along the west side of the Pentagon. We see the branches during the fire. We see the trunk. We see the trunk being cut up. It looks like a tree. You know, it just seems that that's how what happened to the tree. So you asked, how did it get hit? I tried to, with my best graphics capability, which isn't very good, show on slide on the series slide 17, 18, 19, and 20, I guess, where I think it hit. It looks to me, based on the engine having been to just to the left of column 18, which was not destroyed, column 17 was, and the other engine probably going in around column 10, that would be right next to the fuselage and the leading wing spar, where the front leading wing spar is the strongest. It's got to hold up all the weight of the plane, and so it's a really strong strong mechanical object. If this is coming in at a high rate of speed, 400 or 500 miles an hour, It is going to hit it, slice it, sever it, and then as and it's coming in at a 38 degree from the south angle to the wall. So it's more than a 45. It's more coming north than it is going into the building, and that is going to give it a lot of northward momentum. And it can't. And so I think I've answered your question. I'll take a clarifying question if you like. Over.
Well, okay. So you say it, northward, but it's on the south side of the plane where this impact would be taking place. So how does the tree get from the right side of the plane over 100 feet to the left of where the plane would have entered? What caused that to happen?
Well, first of all, the plane's moving in is probably one of the, you know, as the plane would have hit, it would have given some momentum, and then the plane's moving and being destroyed as it's being destroyed as it's impacting the wall and pushing through and all that other stuff disappearing inside. So the actual mechanics of how it would be impacted, severed, what kind of damage it would do to the plane that's impacting the wall is probably another area of study. I'm not sure I'm going to get into it because the tree being where it started, showing the shattered stump. It's not a nice cut stump like they came out with a chainsaw the day before. So the stump's been shattered, and the lower half, the lower trunk, is moved far to the north, and it's coming up again with the 38 degree angle to the wall, according to the flight path. So,
would you, if I can just finish this last point? I know I've taken too long, but I mean, we know that there were explosions inside of Wedge 2 near the heliport. That propelled stuff out, including branches from the very large tree or trees that were near the heliport. Why couldn't some of the branches that you're pointing to be from that tree?
Well, first of all, I don't believe that there's external explosions to anything north of about column 8.
Not external. I didn't say external.
Well,
internal.
Then you don't see anything being blown out because the windows may be damaged, but because they weren't the reinforced windows in Wedge 2, but the reinforced ones were only in Wedge 1 that had been renovated with blast resistant windows. But there are many reports of explosions, and Barbara talks about them being throughout and also in the rings A and B. But I'm really not aware of anything that would be doing the damage that you're hypothesizing on those walls. Again, those trees are pretty much intact, although they're badly burned at the end of the day. Over.
Okay. Okay. I think we have to leave it there for now. Thank you, Craig. And now, thank you again, Wayne, for your presentation. And now let's move